You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
All right, if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 13, what a joy to be here. It was tremendous last night. I thought Brother Fugate did a tremendous job and helped us out a whole lot. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 13, loved Brother Treiber at North Valley Baptist Church, Golden State Baptist College, and what an exciting, exciting place. The book of Isaiah, if you found your place there, if you're able, why don't you stand with me? And the book of Isaiah, chapter number 13. I've never given so many verses for a title of a message, okay? So this is just these verses just for my title, okay? And look at Isaiah, chapter number 13, and look with me at verse number 8. The Bible says, "And they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that what? That travaileth." You see that? They shall be in what? Pain as a woman that travaileth. Look at Isaiah 21, if you would. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 21, and verse number 3. The book of Isaiah, chapter 21, and look at verse 3. "Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a what? Woman that what? That travaileth." Okay, a lot of verses for a title. I'm so sorry. But go to Isaiah chapter 26, the book of Isaiah chapter number 26, and look with me, if you would, at verse 17. The book of Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Like as a what?
Woman.
A woman with child that draweth near the time of her what? Delivery." Watch this. "Is in what?
Pain."
Is in pain. Okay. There's a group out there that is men are wanting to have babies. I hope they get their way. Can I get a witness? You ladies, okay? You hope they get their way. They won't try that again. All right. And now go to Galatians chapter 4. Do you see those verses? You see those verses there, talking about the pain, a woman travailing in birth, okay? And my wife had 9 children. We have 11. We adopted 2. And I want to just say this very clearly. I have never had a baby and never want to have a baby. Be very clear about that, okay? I want to be very clear. I've been with my wife. She's had 9. And I've been in the room, okay? And I thought, whoa, this is tough. This is tough. Look at the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 4. And watch this. Now, I don't want the spirit to go down. It's been so good. I don't want to be the one that comes to kill it all, okay? So you got to stay with me through the whole service, okay? Don't leave in the middle of my sermon, okay? Look in Galatians chapter 4. And look at verse number 19. I'd love to get in Galatians and all, but we just don't have time. And with this crowd, you probably got a good handle on what the book's all about. And some folks came behind Paul and just try to confuse these new converts and said, if you're not keeping the law, you don't really, you're not saved. It takes Christ, yeah, but you also go to keep the law. No, it just takes Jesus without the law, amen? And but look at verse 19. So we understand that's what the book's about. But look at what he says. He says, "My little what?
Children.
Of whom I what?
Travail
in birth again until Christ be what?" So the words that he's using there, and I gave you 3 verses in the Old Testament to back up this statement. There is pain in having a child. Okay? And Paul is using that language here. He says, "My little children, of whom I what? Travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." The word travail means to be in pain. It means to suffer pains of childbirth, okay? So every woman that's had a child understands. They didn't need those verses in Isaiah. Okay, they understand clearly that there's pain in delivering a child. And so here's what I want to say to us that are in the ministry. There's pain in the ministry.
Amen.
There's pain. You know, when you come to a conference like this, I love it. You know, it's all up here and we need this. It's encouraging. But there's pain in the ministry.
Yeah, there is.
There's a lot of pain in the ministry. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Lord, last night was tremendous. This morning was tremendous. Lord, I hope I've been preaching long enough. I'm not worried about, Lord, trying to preach a great sermon, but there's a great truth, Lord, that is in this verse. And Lord, that if we could just illustrate it and get it out, that it would be a help to all those that are in the ministry and those who are desiring to get into ministry. And I pray you'd meet with us. We sure do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated. Appreciate your patience. I want to make two statements just really quick. Number one, it is often extremely painful bringing men to Christ, okay? If you're going to be a soul winner and witness, and it is awfully, it can be extremely painful trying to get people to come to Christ. Number two, it is often extremely painful to bring that new convert, that person that gets saved, to bring them to spiritual maturity, to Christ likeness. And that is to go. You know, a person gets saved, they're going to go to heaven. But you and I, we want to bring them to spiritual maturity until they begin to have Christ likeness. And so that's what Paul is saying to these new converts. He says, man, I travail in birth, he says here, until Christ be formed in you. So Paul is saying that this has been painful, okay? This has been painful. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So let me just give you a few quick statements. We'll get right to the message. A few statements about the pain in the ministry. Number one, some don't expect it. Some, when they're going to get into ministry, they see all of this. They see all of this, and they desire all of this. And please don't take this wrong, but often when a young preacher comes to me and says, you know, preacher, God has called me to the ministry, and I really am. I am excited. I think, man, that is so wonderful. That is so great. Yes, but sometimes on the inside, just being honest, I say to myself, he has no idea what he's up for. He has no idea. He doesn't expect it. He thinks it's going to be all like what you've been seeing. Some underestimate the pain in the ministry. I remember our second child, my wife said to me, she said, honey, she said, I think I want to have this one natural. I'm not going to take anything. I'm just going to have it natural. I'm going to have her natural. I said, knock yourself out, babe. That's what you want to do. And ladies, don't get mad at me. I said, you know, if that's what you want to do. And I said, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to feel any of it. That's going to be you. And so sure enough, we get in there, she gets all hooked up, and they, you know, I'm standing there, and those goes, I call them mountains, those contractions. You start watching them, and they're getting closer, and I can see it, and she's starting hurting. Then she said, honey, I think I've changed my mind. I said, babe, whatever you want to do, it is fine with me. I'd be taking all I could get. Amen. Some underestimate the pain. May I say quickly, number three, some are not properly prepared for it. And I don't know sometimes if we can really ever really properly prepare for what you may go through in the ministry. For 41 years of pastoring and probably every preacher in the room, and there's some things you never tell, some things you never illustrate, some things you keep very close, and sometimes the most painful things you keep very close to yourself. You don't even illustrate, at least somebody connects the dots. But let me just say, man, I have personally been through some pain in the ministry, and if you've been in the ministry more than 2 hours, you've been in some pain. Now, let me say this. Some overreact to the pain. I had a good preacher friend of mine that was having a business meeting. They had met. They had agreed the direction they were going to go, and everybody was on board. And right in the middle of the business meeting, he said, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't think we need to do that. And one of the men raised his hand and said, you know, preacher, we already met privately. Everybody agreed, and this is what was going to do. And he said, well, I've changed my mind. And he said, well, preacher, I don't think that is right. And all of a sudden, it just got out of the hand. He shut his Bible, resigned the church, and walked out.
Now what happened there? He overreacted. He overreacted to the pain. And so oftentimes, if we're not careful, we will overreact to the pain in the ministry. May I say number two quickly? There's thousands of things that can cause pain in the ministry. How about rejection? The Bible says Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. How about being misunderstood? Have you ever been misunderstood? I remember the preacher I surrendered to preach under, I became his pastor. The preacher I got saved under, I became his pastor. And the preacher that I got saved under, Brother Riddick, one week he wrote me a letter, and it was about 3 pages. And so I got a letter in the mail from the preacher I got saved under. And I'm reading the letter, and he's blistering me. He's taking my hide off. And man, I'm reading the letter, and tears are coming down. And I'm thinking, man, I can't believe I'm his pastor now. Okay? Now, man, I can't believe he's saying all of this. And man, I'm reading the letter. Tears are coming down. And he makes these statements. He said, you said this in your sermon. And you said this in your sermon. And you said this in your sermon. And I thought, wow, did I really say all that? And so I went and got the tape, sat in my office, and listened to the whole sermon. And then said, I did not say any of those things that he was saying. Not one of them. And so I'm thinking, man, he is totally misunderstood. What I didn't realize, and none of us knew that, I knew something was going on. I knew that because one time I had called him up to pray, and when he got up there, we were standing there. He says, now, you know, am I preaching? Or I said, no, I just want you to pray. So we knew some things was going on. It was in the early stages of Alzheimer's. And so I don't know what happened and what he heard, but he just got it confused and say, how about being used? You ever been used? Does not the Bible say pray for those that despitefully use you? Have you ever been unappreciated? Have you ever been attacked? Can I get a witness there? And sometimes it's not the attacks from without. Sometimes it's the attacks from within. And one of our businessmen and I knew the man was undermining me for about 10 years, and I just kept my mouth closed. And so that was going on. I knew it, and nobody else knew it, and it was in a meeting. And this man finally, he stood up, and he was going to say, hey, we need to get rid of the preacher. And you could just see every head turn, and they just like, I knew it was coming from me. And they was all looking, I can't believe he just said that. And he finally exposed himself, and every man in the room was like, man. And then next week he was gone. Have you ever been attacked? And how about you ever been forsaken? I think about Paul said, all men forsook me. I think we could go on for hours just thinking about, you ever preached a bad message? I'm experiencing it right now. I'm going, you know, right now, this message is not going the way I want to. You ever had low attendance? You ever had a low offering? Kind of get it? You ever had a few people saved? You ever had a member to leave your church and go to the church across town? You know, I kind of like it when they're leaving his church and coming to mine. Are you with me? We're really wicked if we don't watch it, aren't we? And you ever had a good member you're thinking, family comes to you and says, we're going to be moving. You know, maybe they're a military, and you're like, you know, why couldn't this family be moving, not this one? I would help this one move, right? You ever had people you invested your life in to quit? You ever had members who had lots of talent, but they didn't get involved, and they just sit there on the pew? Yeah. I mean, there can be a lot of pain in the ministry. May I say number three quickly? There's a lot of effects that this pain can have an effect on us, okay? Number one, it can cause you to want to get away from that which is causing the pain. And that's why we have so many preachers. I really believe are quitting the ministry, or coming off the mission field. And they're not quitting because everything's going so good. It's because of the pain. It is because of the pain. And this pain can affect us. It just wants you to get away from that which is causing the pain. Cause you to leave your church. Get out of the ministry. Hey, it can cause you to become angry. Hey, it can cause you to be, impatient. I think about Moses. You know, nearly 3 million people. Man, he was just like, ye rebels. Man, he was just getting fed up with that crowd, okay? And it caused him a trip into the promised land. But here's the sad thing. It will cause you not to enjoy the ministry. I just meet a lot of preachers. They just kind of enduring it, looking at the clock. I don't want to just endure the ministry. I want to enjoy it. And matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be really transparent? You're not knocking me off this platform. I enjoy the ministry. I really do. There's some parts of it I don't enjoy, but I really enjoy the ministry. I think about Paul said he wanted to finish his course with joy. And so there's can be lots of effects about the pain. You ever asked this question? We had 9 children adopted too. And I'm thinking, you know, if it's so painful, why would a woman, I'm thinking after the first one, I'm done. But to go 9 times, as my wife had, they go, you got to be kidding me. What is up with this? And you say, now listen, young preacher, you're thinking, well, you're talking me out of the ministry. The sermon ain't over. There are some things that, hey, that can help us with the pain. Let's go to John chapter 16. I love it how Jesus said it. And he can say it the best. Look in John chapter number 16. So some things that can help us with the pain. Why would a woman ever want to go to second and third and fourth and fifth time and go through all of that? And you wonder, why would anybody ever want to be in the ministry? I can tell you this, it's not about the money. Can I get a witness there? Look in John chapter number 16. Now watch what Jesus, so precious. In John chapter number 16, and look at verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail with sorrow, or had sorrow, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For joy that a man is born into the world. I've seen it many times. Man, my wife is, you know, having those labor pains, and you can just see it, and you can just see all the pain. And then the baby is delivered, and they take that little baby, and they wrap the baby up in a little blanket, and they bring it over and lay that baby to my wife. And I'm there, and I'm there. And you can just see it, you can feel it, you can sense it, of all the joy that a child is born into the world. Y'all didn't get it. I thought these were preachers here. Okay. Oh, I got to go back and connect the dot for you. Look in John 16 again. Look at it in verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail with sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of a child. You know, one thing, I'm going to give you several, but one thing that helps us with this pain is when somebody is saved, somebody is born again. Matter of fact, the greatest thing in life is being born again. There's nothing greater than salvation. There's nothing greater that a person can do is receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. When a person is born again, they will never, no, never, no, never, no, never, ever, ever go to hell. The joy of sin. A child born. We had a man, he came to our church and he had a patch on his eye. Well, let me back up. 2 of our men were knocking doors. This man, he came to the door, he had a patch on his eye, and there was witnessing to him. And the man said, I don't have anything to wear. So one of my men took his jacket off and said, you do now. So you have a jacket. He said, I don't have a tie. Man, my church took his towel. He said, you do now, I ain't taking my tithe. Are y'all still with me? Yeah. And so, that was Thursday. Sunday, he came to church. And so I'm greeting folks, and he's sitting at the end of a pew. He has a patch on his eye. I walk by, shake his hand. I said, man, I'm so glad to have you. You're good to be here. He had had a stroke, and so his voice was really, really rough. I said, good to have you. So that was Sunday. Monday, he didn't get saved in the service, but Monday I went and following up on the new visitors. So Monday I went to follow up on him. Doctor on the store, he came to the door. Said, come on. So I came in, have a seat. I had a seat. And I noticed in his living room there was all these skeleton heads. These had candles in them. And I'm thinking, I hope these ain't real people that he's killed. And at these candles in there, and I'm looking at all this, and he's sitting over there, and I'm sitting, I said, this may be a serial killer. And so we're talking. It's been so good to have you at church. If you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, no, I have no idea where I go. I said, would you like to know? He said, I'd love to know. So I went over there beside his chair and took him to the plan of salvation. He did something I'd never seen anybody do. I said, would you receive Christ as your Savior? He said, yes, sir. He got out of his seat and he did this. I'm serious. That's exactly what he did. And I'm kind of watching. And I'm kind of keeping wild. I'm looking at all these. He prayed. He got saved. Amen. You said, did he really get it? I think he did. Amen. He stayed with me for 20-something years. He became my treasure. You still with me? He ate every Thanksgiving and every Christmas with us for 20-something years. There's nothing like seeing somebody get saved. I do not know what you live for, but there's nothing greater than all the world than seeing somebody getting born in the family of God. It is worth all the pain. I'm working at the city of Gulfport, and there's this guy, he's a mechanic, and so our equipment broke down. He had to come out, and my friend that I work with, my foreman, he's a Christian. He had gotten saved. I'm saved. So we're going to double team him. And so there's two guys there, and one of the guys I knew, kind of grew up with, and his brother is a little younger than my age, and this man was older, but they're working on the tractor. And as we're trying to witness to him, and the one guy said, the guy I kind of knew, grew up with, he said, now, y'all, Brother Dan, you can talk to me, but don't you talk to John L. Said, John L., he don't want to hear it. And John L. just was quiet, didn't say a word. So we kept on trying to witness, and all of a sudden, John L. put his wrench down and looked at us. He said, you can take that Bible. And, buddy, he started cussing us. You've never heard such profanity and cussing in all of your life. And we're just standing there. And the guy smiled real big and said, I told y'all. Leave him alone. Several years went by. One of my men in the church came and said, did you hear about John L.? John L.'s got brain cancer. He's got 3 months to live. Preacher, would you go see John L.? Y'all not getting this. You missed the whole thing. John L. cursed us unbelievably. Mean, mean. He said, preacher, he's dying. I said, I'll go see John L. So I go to the hospital. He's got brain cancer. The door was open. I go to knock on the door. I look. John L. is not in the bed. He's sitting on the couch. And he did this. Well, I said, that's a good start. So I go over there. I sit down by John L. I said, John L., if you were to die right now, talk a little, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And John L., where are you going when you're dying? He looked at me. He said, if I died, Dan, you know where I'm going. He said, I'd go straight to hell. I said, John L., is that where you want to go? He said, no, that's not where I want to go. I said, John L., can I take the Bible and show you how to be saved? Yeah. He said, sure, go right ahead. And so I took the Bible and showed him how to get saved. And tears were going down, and he asked the Lord to save him. I might have told this story before. Son, you preachers ever preach someplace and you don't know where you preach and what you said? I don't hardly know where I'm at. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Come here, let me. Oh, yeah. So when John L. got saved, he stood up. And I stood up and
I remember this story.
He remembers. He put his hands on me like this and he said, I'm fixing to do something to you I never did to another man. I thought, coming home, Lord, I'm coming home.
Was it you last time?
Yeah, it was you last time. And he gave me a big hug.
Love ya.
And then he looked at me and he said, Dan, I love you. It's not the end of the story. So I'll preach his funeral. We'll go out to the cemetery. It's over. The gentleman didn't make the funeral. He just came to the graveside. I'm walking to my car. He said, preacher. I stopped. This man comes up to me. He said, I knew John L. my whole life. He said, I want to know, what did you do to John L.? I said, I didn't do anything to John L. John L. got saved. And that's been years ago. You know where he's at this morning? He's in heaven in a billion years. In a zillion years, he'll still be in heaven. You know what will help you with the pain? Are you with me? When you see that person get saved. Wish I had the time to tell you about my uncle. Nobody in my family went to church. My dad was an alcoholic. No, we went Baptist, Catholic, Methodist. My uncle, who had not been to church in 50 years, getting saved and leading him to Christ. And my sister, who we prayed for over 40 years, her getting saved. Are you still with me? So number one, the joy of seeing a child born. Number two, quickly, the joy of seeing a child grow. The joy of, right? Come on, ladies. The joy of seeing, you know, there's that, you know, they roll, hey, he rolled over. They crawl, they walk. They said their first word, mama, dada. You know what mothers get really excited about? Potty trained. They went to the potty, yes! I can see some of you ain't had any kids. If you had nine, you'd be getting excited. You still with me? Let me go back to Brother Ed. He got saved, man with a patch on his eye. This is so good. So he ain't been saved 2 weeks. And the work center where I preach at every Tuesday night, did for 25 years, I'd go there and preach on Tuesday night. And I said, Brother Ed, I said, I go to a place and preach every Tuesday night. I go all by myself. Would you like to go with me? He said, I'd love to go with you. I said, wonderful. I said, I'll pick you up. I forget, 6 o'clock. And so I pull up, and he comes outside. Now, he ain't been saved 2 weeks. So he comes, and he's got this brown bag in his hand. He's so happy. He gets in the car, and I said, Brother Ed, I said, what you got there? He said, I got a carton of cigarettes. He said, I figured those guys would want to smoke. And I said, Brother Ed, I said, they probably would. I said, but in the jail ministry, you can't bring nothing in, and you can't take nothing out. Are y'all with me? He didn't know. He ain't been saved long. I said, Brother Ed, I'll go sowing. I need somebody to go with me. Would you go? Yeah, I'd love to go with you. He ain't been saved a few weeks. So we're going down the street. We're knocking door. I don't know why I had him outside, but he was on the outside. And he said, no, I ain't saying nothing. He went with me for over a year if he ever said anything. He was my silent partner. And so we're going down the road, and a car got real close to him, and he cussed. And he got real embarrassed. He said, oh, preacher, I'm so sorry. I didn't. He ain't been saved in just a few weeks. I said, man, my wife cusses like that all the time. I said, don't worry. I hope she ain't watching. Are y'all still with me? He started growing. You say, name the 5 best Christians you ever seen. He's in the top 5. As he began to grow in life, as he began to be conformed into that image of Christ. Came one of the best Christians you ever met. We're at Home Depot. I don't know what the project we're doing, but we're doing something, and we're getting some things. And so he was just a little bit ugly to the lady at the cash register. And so we're quiet, and we get in the car, and we sit there. Nobody, I say nothing, he says nothing. He says, I was wrong, wasn't I? He said, I acted ugly, didn't I? I said, yeah, it's hard to give him a track when you act like that. He said, I'll be back. He got out, went back in there and apologized. How many times have you apologized? He became our treasure for over 20 years. It's nothing like him seeing him grow and seeing him change. I'm talking about some things that will help you with the pain. I said, number one, the joy of seeing a child born. Hey, the joy of seeing them begin to grow into the image of Christ. Number three, Brother Fugate gave us this. But how about the comfort of the Scriptures? Amen. I'd have been pastor. You know, I surrendered to preach on Sunday morning, and my preacher said, wonderful, you can preach tonight. And so I preached that night, and they voted me in as the mission pastor. I was pastoring Wednesday. I don't recommend it. So I was so discouraged. And so I'm in the old basement in the old location, and I'm walking. There's like 2 Sunday school rooms on each side in the nursery. We'd get water in the basement sometimes this much. And so I'm walking downstairs, and I'm so discouraged because of the pain. And I'm reading my Bible. You know it's good to read your Bible. Even preachers need to read their Bible. And I was just reading my Bible. This was over about nearly 40 years ago. If you come in my office, you'll see this verse. And it's in Galatians chapter 6, and it says this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And man, the Lord just gave me that. And for all of these years, man, when the pain comes on, man, I remember that promise God gave me. Man, you need to get a promise from God. I had an old preacher that used to work with Lester Roloff and said, "Son," he said, "kiss the son, lest he be angry." And I'm like, "What are you talking?" And he took that Bible and kissed it. He said, "Kiss the son." He said, "Brother Carr," he said, "fall in love with God's word." Amen. The comfort of the scriptures, number four. Then there's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the Bible says in John 14, 26, he is called the Comforter. A couple years ago, my brother-in-law, he came to church on Sunday morning. My sister said, "I want you to come hear my brother preach." He said, "I don't want to hear your brother preach." "I don't want to hear him." "My dad said, never trust preachers." She said, "Well, come one time." And so he came that Sunday morning, and it happened. I preached on hell. He left, and he went home, and he couldn't sit down. He just paced the floor back and forth, back and forth. He said, "Well, we need to go back to church." And he came back that Sunday night before church even started. He said, "If you can take that Bible and show me from the Bible how I can know I'm going to heaven, I'd like to know." And so my brother-in-law got saved. Amen. Stayed with me for 38 years. Let her sing in, and he wound up taking the prison ministry. They made him the chaplain. But my brother-in-law got a liver disease. And when he passed away, he had the biggest smile I think I've ever seen on somebody's face. 2 weeks later, his wife, who is my sister, when my brother-in-law died, we had to check her out of the hospital. She had 4-stage lung cancer. Check her out of the hospital so she could come to the funeral. Had his casket there. She was in a wheelchair. I had to help my sister up so she could give my brother-in-law, her husband, a kiss. She died 2 weeks later. Yeah. And then 2 weeks after that, my mother passed away, who was a member of our church for the whole 40 years. So within a few weeks, my song leader, who was with me for 38 years, my sister, who was literally our best soul in the church, and then my mom passed away. Boy, that's painful.
That is.
I'm not looking for sympathy. But you know what makes a difference? It's when nobody else, you know, you can't call a preacher friend and he tells you, you know, what you kind of already know sometimes, and it's okay. But there's sometimes in the pain, it's like nobody can really help you. But there's always one who can. And that is the sweet, precious Holy Spirit of God, who can bring comfort when nobody else can bring comfort. I'm saying to you, preacher, because of the pain, you don't have to quit. You don't have to throw in the towel. Hey, get a promise from God's word. And then there's the grace of God. You remember Paul had the thorn in his flesh, and he went to the Lord and said, "Lord, remove the thorn." And he went to God three times. And then you remember the words in 2 Corinthians? God said to Paul, "My grace will be sufficient." You know who God gives grace to, right? To the humble. I do not want to be ugly or unkind, but if we as preachers are not careful, we'll get pretty cocky and arrogant. You know, 6 things that the Lord hates, yea, 7 are abomination. Number one on the list, God does hate pride. And sometimes we're not getting the grace we need for the pain that we're having because we're not willing to humble ourselves. I want you to go to Romans chapter number 8. I'm going to give you 2 verses. We'll close, okay? Y'all still with me? So I've been preaching about this pain, okay? I gave you some statements about it. It's going to come. You're going to have it. I gave you some things that will help with the pain. I told you the joy of seeing a child born, the joy of seeing the child grow, the comfort of the scriptures, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God. But look at this, and this ties in exactly what Brother Fugate preached. It just goes exactly, taking up exactly where he left off. In Romans 8, in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16, amazing. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, are you serious? Light of, you read 2 Corinthians 11, it's unbelievable all the pain that Paul went through. Matter of fact, when Paul was surrendered and Paul got saved, he told Ananias, I want you to go to Paul in Acts 9, and I want you to tell him he's going to become a famous, super known preacher. No, he said, you go tell him the things he's going to suffer. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our outward affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, which we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what can help us with the pain? It's lastly, is thinking of the day we're going to see Jesus. There's a song in y'all's hymn book. We have y'all's hymn book, but it's When We See Christ. Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur in despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. So I don't know your pain. If you're in the ministry, you have it. And you're going to have it. But there's some things that the Lord has given us to help us with the pain. And I'm going to tell you this. Whenever we see Jesus face to face, whatever pain we suffered and went through, it will be worth it. Our Father, we love you. Lord, we love you. And in this room, there's some preachers who's going through some pain, and they're probably not even going to tell anyone. But it's real and it's tough. I pray you'd help them. Pray you'd be with them. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.